Ronnie will be
Thank
sharing
you.
with us tonight on Monday night's 7 p.m. UK meeting on the doctor's opinion. Over to you, Ronnie.
Hi, I'm Lonnie. I am an addict, an alcoholic, chaos creator, codependent. And when I say addict, that includes food, that includes drugs, just anything to get me outside of myself to help me on my own try to solve this spiritual malady I have, which I see more and more is my separation from the person that God created me to be originally. And, you know, for me, it started out as coming into this world, into a family that had an alcoholic father and a mentally ill mother. And so basically, I think that from the get-go, I was spiritually separated, and I figured out how to navigate through life on my own. And that I also have learned that I have this brain that doesn't work like normal people's brains. I have, my thinking is different. The way that I process substances is different in my brain and also in my body. So, you know, I think about this program and Big Book Awakening, and as I've gone through it in the past, that I see that my foundation that I've had throughout my life is something that when I'm working from that, that I can't help but use a substance of some sort. And that this program has given me the ability to have a new foundation built. And in Big Book Awakening, that foundation is step one. And so, and the beginning of step one is the physical allergy, and that I truly have to believe that I have this. And we're blessed with this process that we go through that enables us to see for ourselves, because we're really the only ones that can diagnose ourselves as having this disease or not having this disease. And that I'm the one that needs to believe that. It doesn't matter what other people tell me. None of that matters. And so it was, for me, the first time that I really understood this was going through Big Book Awakening. And because I just never even thought about it. I just, like I said, I came into this world and then I just was like, okay, what do I need to do to survive? And so any sort of substance that I picked up was a solution to the way that I felt, and until it didn't work anymore. And so I'm going to read on XXVIII. We believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, and once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And so it goes on to say that frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices, and the message which can interest and hold us must have depth and weight. So I look at all the other messages in my life, and I pretty much have to burn through them to get to that point of surrender. And I look at, especially with my chaos creating, you know, the picking up the food and the drugs and the alcohol, are just something that happens because, for me, because of how uncomfortable I feel emotionally. And then I have the kicker of the physical allergy that when I pick up, I can't stop. And so with the adrenaline, and when I was introduced to this, I couldn't quite figure it out because I hated it. I hated that feeling. I hated that anxiety. I hated that worrying. Yet that was what I did over and over again. And so the way that I look at it is this, and this was an explanation that I got as I was going through that work. And that was that at the beginning, I chose these behaviors in order to not feel bad. And then after a while, my brain developed these pathways that are much like a heroin addict has pathways in their brain. And so that there is a thought, and usually it's fear, and then boom, I'm in the anxiety, I'm in the adrenaline running, I'm in the fear and the worry and all of that. And so that as far as it says here, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And that I need to have a message that has depth and weight. And so that was helpful for me. And that goes on to say that in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves as they are to recreate their lives. So I think of this foundation that I need a new foundation, and my higher power is the one that can give me that foundation that I need to have, just to have the willingness to go along and do the work that goes with this. So it goes on and it talks about how in the doctor's opinion that they're saying, okay, so we see these people and they're hopeless and we have no other solution for them. And then we're seeing that somehow this group of people, and this is like the founders of our program, that they have something here that they're doing that is all of a sudden these people who seemed hopeless have had a psychic change and they're able to function in life differently than they have throughout their lives. And so we go on in the doctor's opinion and in our process of diagnosing ourselves, we go into where we're looking at, am I a heavy drinker? Am I a moderate, or am I the real deal? And so, I had to go through all of these questions that we have in this part of the work to see if I'm different from others. And so, can I stop if a doctor says that I need to stop? Can I stop if I have sufficient reason? Can I, can I have a self-help program? Can I have more knowledge and try and figure all of this out? And so as I go through that work, I looked at it and I thought, I'm all of these. I'm all of these, where it says, am I a psychopath? Am I a manic depressive? Am I, just all of this stuff that has been shown to me in the doctor's opinion. But then I get to where am I the real thing? And for me, when I first was introduced to the chaos creating and the adrenaline addiction, I remember looking at this information and saying, oh, I'm not. And then I would, and I think that what it was I was looking at all of the situations in my life where I was able to control my thinking. And then all of a sudden it hit me, well, Yeah, but do I at some point in time go back? Do I at some point in time go back? So, you know, I was thinking about the physical allergy today, and I have some things going on in my life, and I have some fear and I have some anxiety. And so I went out shopping to get something for my sister and for her birthday, just to add to her birthday present. And I was in the store and I'm looking around and I start seeing clothes and I start filling up a cart with clothes. I'm going to go try on these clothes. And I feel this ramping up inside of me. And so then I go over to the dressing room and it was closed. So then I put all the clothes back. And so it calmed down inside of me. And so then I finished my shopping and I was getting ready to go out the door and I was putting my cart away and I saw a purse and I thought, oh, maybe I want that. And then I just had to laugh at myself and just like, get out of there, get out. Because for me, this physical allergy, and it's so tricky with that stuff in my brain. And so my physical allergy, that there are things that I have no business doing. And one of them is when I'm anxious, go shopping. And then I was also thinking about, you know, with the chaos creating, what are the things that I do in my life that show me that I think that I don't have this problem and that I don't have a thinking problem? And so when I think about that, I have the ability to argue with somebody, I have the ability to debate, I have the ability to give advice. I have the ability to, explain my situation. That just any of that stuff that engages me into this, into something that will help me to step over the line where all of a sudden this stuff starts pouring into my system. And so, you know, I've been in recovery a long time and my substances that are outside of myself that I put inside of me, I have a lot of neutrality around that. And that's why I keep coming back to this part of my disease, is that this is the one that I have that daily reprieve and that I really need to stay connected to my higher power because it will get me. And it doesn't take long for me to get emotionally uncomfortable. And I know that is, I heard someone talk about it being my gateway drug. And so it is the thing that will lead back to my other substances. And so I think about, I've had my story has relapse in it. I have a history of relapse in it and relapsing into originally into my eating disorder, which showed as me being obsessed with my body and getting into competitive bodybuilding and getting into all of this and counting calories and all that. And then eventually it went into picking up drugs. And so the way that started was that I just reached that point of emotional discomfort where I just needed something to numb out. So in the doctor's opinion, it talks about that people, men on the bottom of page XXVII, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They're restless, irritable, and discontent unless they can again experience a sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks which others, they see others taking with impunity. And after they've succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. Unless the person can experience the entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. So I was introduced to the mentality of looking at this whole cycle here as like a clock, and that, you know, at the top at 12 noon, that I'm pretty okay. And then the obsession starts, and thank you, Darla. And the obsession starts, and then, you know, it just, we start going around the clock, and then it reaches that point where I just can't stand it anymore. And then I pick up a substance, and then I'm back in because I've lost control. And so it's sort of hard separating out the power choice and control and the physical allergy and the mental obsession, because they just all are so connected. And so then I go through the spree, and then I'm remorseful. And usually for me, then go to bed and then wake up in the morning, and then I'm off and running again. And it's just, when I look back at my life and how much of my life was spent in that circle, in that cycle, around and around and around, it's sad, but it also, I'm just so grateful today that that I have the ability to be out of that. And that is just, it just is miraculous. And the fact that this doctor came up with this whole approach to our alcoholism. And we're talking about back in the 1930s that, you know what, it's not a matter of willpower. It's not a matter of anything that I can do on my own. It is a matter of having this, well, spiritual separation, which I started with, and that without that, I'm going to continue to do what I've always done, which is to use a substance to feel better rather than being connected to a higher power that's going to do this for me. And on my own, I'm just lost. I'm lost. I don't know how to navigate life without having this program. And so, you know, I've been taking somebody through the work, and we're in step one, and we're in the physical allergy. And I it never ceases to amaze me how uncomfortable I can become when I'm reading these pages and looking at this. And I think a lot of that has to do with that, the fixing, obsessing, controlling, that it takes off, and I don't know the true from the false. And I will go into this stage of like, I'm trying my best to fix everything around me, and all these substances are flying through my brain. And when it all calms down, I look back at it and I say, what the heck was that all about? And so the whole going through it over and over and over again is just pure insanity. And that's, for me, that's what step one is all about. So that's about all I have to share, and I'm going to end there. Thank you very much for asking me to speak, Amy, and I look forward to hearing the rest of you.
Thank you, Lonnie. I'll stop recording now.